talks about two things that all of us ought to know about Jesus. We've been focusing on Jesus this year in 2009, and we are finding ourselves in the book of John, studying his life, and we pick up these two things about Jesus in John chapter 1, verse 29. John says, "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" In verse 32, he goes on and he says, "For John gave this testimony, 'I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain, he will baptize you. It is he who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'" So there are two things that I want you to pick up. He says, number one, he is the Lamb of God. That's a phrase that's connected with him being the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. That's what communion is all about. When you break a piece of bread and you eat it, you're reminding yourself of the fact that he died on the cross for you. When you drink this cup, you're reminding yourself that he shed his blood for you. When you accept Jesus as your personal Savior and you say, "God, I don't want to run my own life. I want to get myself off my own throne that I've established, and I want you to be on that throne. I want you to be in the driver's seat. I want you to be my Lord. I've sinned, and I need a Savior." And at that moment, the Lamb of God, who is our Savior, indwells us with his Spirit. In that moment of time, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit take up their abode in us. I am indwelt now with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, who shed over me. Now I have his presence. Jesus, who was in the flesh, now in the Spirit, lives in me. Would you say amen to that? That what a tremendous, powerful hope that we have, Christ in me. But then also he says, not only is he the baptizer, you also need to know, if you're a Christian, that he is your baptizer. He's the Lamb of God, your Savior, and he is your baptizer. That one who lives in you, indwells you, now wants to infill you. That one who lives inside of you now wants to draw from that well that's already present in you, the Holy Spirit, and from that Holy Spirit, let rivers of life begin to fill and overflow you. Now, that's what baptism of the Holy Spirit is. That's what, when Jesus baptized you, it's taking from that well that's already there. John chapter 7 says, out of your innermost being, there'll be rivers of life that begins to flow. It's not just an indwelling where I have Jesus and no one knows about it, but it's there. No, we begin to fill up. When Jesus baptizes you, when he baptizes me, we begin to fill up, and there is an overflow. At some point, there's some signs that are revealed. Something will happen to reveal that you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit by Jesus Christ. So when we say, "Come, Jesus," we invite him to come and not only be our Savior, but to be our baptizer as well. Now, for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. And last week, we talked about seven signs of a Spirit-filled person. We only were able to cover six of them. We're going to look at the next one today. That's this unique gift called the spiritual language, or an ability to speak in tongues. But there are many ways that God reveals himself when a person is filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, we're going to have a ministry time in about 30 minutes from now. We're going to have about 15 minutes to just bask in the presence of the Lord, and people are going to be filled with worry. If you come today and you've been filled with worry, I'll tell you, God's going to fill you with hope today. I believe that's going to take place. As a sign, you'll walk out of this place a different person. There are some of you who have come, you're filled with anxiety and concern. God wants to fill you with something else. If you're here and you look back at your past week and you've been filled with rage and anger, God's going to send you away. If that's what you want, if you want to be filled with the Spirit, the sign will be that you will be filled anew with peace and joy. I was talking to a man last week, and he says, "Pastor," he says, "my son was convicted of something about a year and a half ago. He's been in prison ever since that time. He faces more time even still." He says, "But something dramatically changed in prison." He says, "He prayed a prayer of repentance, and the Lamb of God came inside of him." He didn't use the term Lamb of God. He says, "Jesus saved him. He actually kind of like snatched him from hell. Didn't get him out of prison. Sometimes your sins bear some consequences. He's still in prison, but his spirit was inside of him. He dwelt, indwelt. And all of a sudden, he began to get filled up, and he actually spoke in a language. Believe that or not, he said. He said, but it wasn't just a language. He has a sense of confidence and boldness now that cannot be explained, because my son is laid back. He's not gregarious at all. He's intimidated by people. And now he's leading a Bible study, and 10 to 15 guys are coming, and he's talking to them and preaching to them. He says, that's a work of the Spirit, a sign of the Spirit. Those things happen when you're full of the Spirit. So we've been talking in the last couple of weeks about this fullness, this what happens when a person is baptized. And it's not just something he does in church here. He's been pouring his Spirit out all week long. Paul and Sylvia, you've got to hear some of these reports, because the Holy Spirit's not just active in this building on Sunday mornings. I know that you know that. He goes far beyond these buildings, and throughout our city, the Lord's been doing some great things over the last several days. So, Sylvia, tell us about last night. What happened here?
Well, as many of you know, almost every October 31st, we have Harvest Jam here. It used to be at Adventure Park, and now it is on our campus, which we love. And we have a carnival atmosphere. It's not just for Koinonia families. We open it up to the community. And last night, we had over 3,100 people on our campus. Yes. And they came and had a good time with their families. They rode a hayride. They went to the petting zoo. They were on bounce houses. And one of the, you know, I get asked, why does Koinonia do these type of events? Well, it is our desire to share the love of God in real practical ways, not just with one another here, but with those that are in our community, and to give them a way to have a divine appointment with us, that should they need a church family, should they somewhere right now, today, they may be here, or if they have a need down the road, that they have a comfort level with Koinonia, and that the people that they met here to make this the church and the place where they come, where we can point them to Jesus. And I want to share with you, our fifth grade Sunday school teacher just shared with me a few minutes ago. Her name's Jennifer Crone. She was asked to work as a greeter on one of the entrances. And as soon as she was placed there, she ran into a lady and her two sons that she had met at Wow Jam. She said, Christina. She goes, hi, I remember you from Wow Jam. I keep waiting for you guys to come to church. I keep waiting for you. And this Christina says, I can't believe you even remember my name. And Jen said in her head, I can't either. That was the Holy Spirit flowing out of Jen in a very practical way. She remembered this girl's name, and I am convinced that Christina and her two boys are going to come to this church sometime in the future. So there's two totally unrelated events and a divine appointment of one of our people just connecting with someone with the love of God. And so all of you who make that happen, thank you. For those of you who donate candy and donate your time and have worked this past week on this event to make that possible, to share God's love with people, that's the Holy Spirit working through you, and we cannot do it without you. So thank you very much for letting that happen.
Yeah. You know, Sylvia, I just connected a word that came to us, a word of a prophecy. I believe it was the Lord speaking to us in one of our prayer sessions a couple of weeks ago on Wednesday. We set aside Wednesday as a day of fasting and prayer every week. Staff meets in room 4, and any of you are welcome at 12 till 1 o'clock. Well, in one of those meetings, one of the pastors says, I believe that, and it's my in my own verbiage, not theirs, but he said that Koinonia is like a sweet-smelling odor that kind of goes, and you can smell it in the community. And instantly I was reminded of my grandson, who he and I were riding one day, and we were going through a neighborhood, and someone who had a barbecue, and he said, good. He said, good, smells good. He could smell what was happening. Let me tell you, I just instantly saw it. That's what last night was. It's an aroma. That's good. It smells good when people go by. When you go into a house and it's been smoking, something gets onto you when you leave. You actually smell smoky. But when people come onto this campus last night, I believe that there's something that's taken with them on the way. Don't ever underestimate the power of an event like that. You know, I mean, it's not quote-unquote spiritual, but it is quote-unquote spiritual. Everything we do is spiritual. And so thank God he poured his Spirit out, and thank you for serving, as Sylvia so wonderfully said. So, Paul, tell us what happened at Hell House.
Well, last night, Jesus showed up at the Hell House. It was an awesome event. We put together Hell House for the last 5 days. Our youth group put together 30 tours, which meant that they put on this drama 30 times. And the drama was a lot like Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames. What we did is we brought them through Hell House, and we had 5 different scenes. And at the end of the scenes, what they did is we brought them into the heaven scene. And that's where the light began to shine on them. We got them out of the darkness and brought them into light. After they got through that tour, man, everybody wanted to accept Jesus Christ in their heart. Mm. We were really excited because over 656 people showed up to Hell House. And yeah, that's exciting. We were able to reach those people. And as we began to talk to them about the Lord and how the Lord wanted to break bondages and set them free and give them salvation, there was 121 people that gave their lives to the Lord last night. So we want to thank you.
Hallelujah. And that's not counting those who raised their hand. Those are cards that were filled
out. Those are salvation cards.
There were others that raised their hand but didn't fill out cards.
That's right, right. Other people were praying for depression. Other people got delivered from drugs and alcohol. There was a lot of people that prayed for because they were dealing with sin. And I just want to thank our youth group because they really did a great job. Our drama team and all the adults and youth workers and our security guards. I would give them a hand because they really put it together. And for the God just did a work. And we're just so happy that the Lord brought those people there that night and they got ministered to. We're so happy that people in this church sponsored the event financially as well and with their prayers. I want to thank the chaplains and the Vargases for being there every night and other people that were there in that heaven scene that were praying for people to get saved. And that's what happened, Pastor.
Yeah. Well, thank Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Now, in John, he says, I baptize you with water. But when Jesus comes, he's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Baptism in water is an extremely important step in your Christian faith. If you know Jesus here today and you've never been baptized, you need to be baptized in water. Matter of fact, just next week we have a class, and on the 15th of November, we have going to baptize people. Boy, don't take that for granted. That is an important step for every Christian today is water baptism. So next week will be classes. And then the week afterwards, November 15th, we will actually baptize people. But he says, I baptize you in water, but Jesus is going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Now, that's some of the signs that happen when a person is filled with the Holy Spirit. When you're running on empty, you function a certain way. When you're filled with something other than God, you live with a different perspective. But when you are filled with the Spirit, there are certain signs that are manifest. And today I want to talk with you about a really unique sign. I'm going to spend the whole morning on it because it's the sign of speaking in a new tongue, if you will, or speaking, as I'm going to term it, in a spiritual language. It's one of the signs that happened in the Bible on an ongoing basis, starting at Pentecost and then on several occasions after that. And I wanted to turn to the scriptures with you, and I want to make some comments about that and to deal with 4 questions. I want to talk about why would God want to touch our tongues. I want to find out why you and I would even want a gift like that. Why would people resist, or why would there be some contention about that gift? And then actually, if a person would want to seek that gift, what would you do? How would you go about doing that? So as ushers come, if you come and receive the tithes and offerings, guys, if you'd please do that at this time, would you turn with me to Acts chapter 1, and we'll begin there in our study. And I want to lead us up to a time of ministry where anyone who is desirous of being filled with the Holy Spirit, whether it be speaking in tongues or you want to be filled because you've been full of so many other things today, that we want to give opportunity for that. So you're turning in your Bibles, if you would, to Acts chapter 2. That's where I wanted you to be. I think I said chapter 1, so go to Acts chapter 2. And thank you, brothers and sisters, for receiving tithes and offerings today. I want to read 3 texts of scriptures to lay a foundation so that you will know that this is a scriptural, this comes from the Bible. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it goes like this. The author of this book is a guy by the name of Luke. He's a doctor. He's written this for us, and he says, when the day of Pentecost came, verse 1, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. That's the first instance. It's the day of Pentecost. It's the day Jesus referred to when he looked ahead, when he was talking to his disciples in a room the last 24 hours of his life. He looked forward to the day, about 50 days from his crucifixion. That's what Pentecost means. And he says, on that day you'll know something's going to happen. You'll know that I'm pouring out my Spirit. Acts chapter 10, if you want to just kind of go a few chapters ahead in the same book, we have another instance after Pentecost, sometime later, where this happens again. Peter, one of the disciples, goes to the home of Cornelius, and he has his family, friends, relatives there. And verse 44 in Acts chapter 10 says this, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on even the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. So there was speaking in tongues, but there was also in their natural native language, there was this praising God taking place. Turn over 9 other chapters to Acts chapter 19, verse 6, and you'll see another instance, and there would be others I could turn to, but for sake of time, we will not do that. Acts chapter 19, 6, Paul is in a place called Ephesus, and it says this, verse 6, when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. The word tongues is not outdated. It's not a bad word. I'm not suggesting or on a campaign to remove it from Scripture. I do think, however, it doesn't completely adequately express what God is wanting to say. It's a term that we came up with in the translations of Scriptures over the years. It's used in the King James Version and several other versions. It actually means a language. It's not talking about just gibberish or making sound. It's referring to a language that has been given and received and it's spoken. There are over 6,000 languages in our world. I don't think anyone here has studied all of those languages, but there's lots of different languages. And it makes sense to me that God would want to give a new language to us. We live in a different kingdom, don't we? You know, there's a kingdom of the world, and there's a kingdom of darkness, and there's a kingdom of light. When you go and you travel, get on a plane, and you go across the countries, and you go to Europe, and you go to Asia, you go to various places, you're going to be confronted with people who speak different languages than you because they're from a different country. It makes sense to me that God would want to give to you and me a new language because we are a part of a kingdom that's so different than the world. What the world says is right side up really is upside down. And the world says, get all you can get, and then God's kingdom says, give all you can give. And so the kingdom of God says, if you want to really rule, get on the bottom of everybody and be a servant. Well, the world says, if you want to really rule, dominate and dictate and get over people, drive people, make them do what you want them to do. The more you can do that, the more successful you are. So we come from a different kingdom. And so it makes sense to me that God would give us a spiritual language. And so this spiritual language is talked about in the book of Acts especially. It's also talked in other places. I'll allude to those in a few moments. This gift has been given many terms. Some have called it a language of love because it comes from the inner part of our being. Others have called it a heavenly language because it originates from heaven, from the Lord. Some people call it a heart language because it's my heart speaking. This spiritual language is an ability to communicate to God intimately, and it originates not in the mind but in the spirit. If I were going to learn a language, and I wish I could speak more than one language, but I have enough difficulty with English, so I'm not attempting the other ones. But if I were to learn, and some of you can speak several languages, you've probably gone to a class or had a teacher or someone help you learn. You've memorized certain words. You've learned certain tenses and various things to help you. But the language of the Spirit, the spiritual language, doesn't come from your mind. It comes from your spirit. It's something that God just gives to you, and you're able to now speak forth a language that makes sense to Him. Once again, it's not gibberish. It's a genuine language that God gives. Why would God want to touch our tongues? Why would this be one of the main signs? Some people say it's the uniquest gift of all the other signs of the Spirit, and the reason they say that is because it's the only gift that hadn't been manifest prior to that time. There had been visions and dreams, and there had been healings and deliverances, but on Pentecost, it's that one gift that had not been revealed and released, so they would consider it to be one, if not the most unique gift. But why would God want to touch our tongues? And my question would be, why wouldn't He? Because the tongue is so, so powerful. Life comes from two different sources. When a man and a woman come together and one is impregnated, they give birth to a child. That is a tremendous, powerful life stream. And wherever there's a power source to create life, I'll tell you, you better have some boundaries on it. That's why we don't want certain countries to have nuclear weapons. We want some boundaries, because once you have that power, you know, who knows what can happen. And so God says, sex is such a powerful thing, I'm going to have to put some boundaries. And it's called marriage. I'm not making barriers. Barriers keep you in, but boundaries keep the enemy out. Because of my wife and I and many of you, you decide to be faithful to each other. You don't have to worry about so many things, because those boundaries keep you safe. Those boundaries help you out. They're not a burden. They're actually a protection for you. Well, in the same way, this tongue, Proverbs says, has the power to bring forth life and death. And since, just like the sexual relationship, when the mouth speaks, if it has that much power, there needs to be a mark put upon it. In the Old Testament, the mark that was put upon a little Jewish boy was the mark of circumcision. And when you saw a little Jewish boy, you would know they are Jewish and belong to God, because that mark is put there. In the New Testament, God puts His mark upon your and my tongue. It's the language of praise. And if you're filled with the Spirit, and I'm telling you, when you're not filled with the Spirit, you tend to talk a little bit different. But when you're filled with the Spirit, people take note that, man, they're not complaining. They're not criticizing. They're not putting people down. There's something about the tongue that reveals that the Holy Spirit is inside of you. So He puts this mark upon our tongues. And James says that the tongue is so powerful it can cause fires. I've been in conversations, and you have too, where you've seen people talk to each other and the dynamics that take place. It's not the language, but the body language, the communication, everything that's taking place, something can happen between those two, and there can be never a touching of the two. I was sitting on the couch a couple of weeks ago, and my son was sitting in the chair. He said something to me, and I'm telling you, I started to laugh so hard. I tell you, I started to cough and couldn't stop coughing. Then I said something back to him, and he started laughing. And we're in there, they're laughing at each other. We never touched each other. We weren't sitting in the same chair. But that communication, that talking, those words caused something to happen. I've seen a person talk to another person, and from what they say, this person starts to break down and cry and hurt and go through an emotional breakdown because of what's being said. Don't tell me that words aren't important. Words are very, very important. They're very, very powerful. And so it's no surprise to me that God would want to mark that and make it His property. Having said that and know that, the second question I want to look at is how or why would you and I as a people or as individual people want to pursue a gift like this? How many of you today would raise your hand and you would say, I know what you're talking about, Pastor, because I have personally had an experience with the Holy Spirit and I have received a spiritual language. If that's been your experience, would you just raise your hand so I can just take a look? Okay, a number of you have received that. Okay, and now put your hands back down. For those who just raised their hand, how many of you would say that, yes, I've received my spiritual language and I use it probably 2 to 3, maybe 4 times a week at least. How many of those hands would be raised? Okay, so a fair number of those of you who have had the experience. It's not a present reality if I'm reading the hands right. Well, he gives us this language for a reason, and I've pursued this language, and I received it years ago as a small child. I was trying to figure out the exact age, and I really can't go back that far, but it was around my teenage years, 12 or 13 years old, and there are reasons why I pursued that language, and let me give you a couple of reasons why I think that all of us in this room who have not experienced this infilling, this releasing of the Holy Spirit in this way, at least ought to pursue that because of what it accomplishes. First reason that I have pursued this is because 1 Corinthians 14:1, and I'm going to refer to 1 Corinthians 14, and I'm not going to take time to turn there, but you can go home today and read that whole chapter. It'll bring some insights, but I'm going to be referring to that in the next few comments, so you can read that when you get home. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, "Seek earnestly spiritual gifts." Well, right there, that's enough for me. If the Bible says to seek the gifts, not just one gift, but many gifts, seek the outpouring of the Spirit, seek His fullness. If there's a gift, I want it. The reason that God gives us gifts is because we can't live the Christian life on our own. We need His strength. His gifts that He gives to us, when we open them and when we put them on, when we eat them, when we receive them and walk in them, we become more than a professing Christian. We become a practicing Christian. But without His assistance, we've been destined to a life that we can't live. We need His gifts in their full array. And He says, so seek spiritual gifts. In 1 Corinthians 14, number 2, Paul says, Paul is speaking, he says, "I speak in tongues more than you all." If spiritual leadership, Paul, who wrote over half the New Testament, if Peter, the leading apostle, if the head honchos, if the big guys, if the women in those days who really were influential, if they had this gift, that's enough for me. I want that too. I read leadership books, as some of you do, and I'm trying to say, well, if they have that, then that's what I need. And I say, God, help me to develop that in my own way, because I need that. I want what they have. But there's some personal reasons that I personally have pursued this gift, and I encourage you to as well. Is number one, it expands our worship. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, this language, when you speak in a tongue, when you speak or use your spiritual language, it says that you are speaking to God and no one else understands. No one else understands. I have an intimate talk with God. There are some things that my wife and I talk about that I wouldn't have a conversation about those things with anybody else. Her and I have a communication at times that just involves her and me. And there are times when I don't want anybody to know what I'm talking about. I don't want the enemy to know what I'm talking about. And he doesn't know what that language is. See, the enemy is finite. He is a created being. God is omnipresent. God is omniscient. The enemy just watches you. He's a great body language reader, but he can't read your thoughts. He's not that way. God, however, can. And He's given us this language so that when I communicate, it's an intimate language. Do you remember, have you ever gone to a family's home? They've invited you there. You didn't know anybody. They didn't know you, but you were there because you had a relationship with someone. And they started talking about things and they started laughing, but you didn't laugh because you didn't get the joke. It's kind of like an inside joke. You had to kind of be the part of the family in order to understand what they were saying. Well, that's what happens here. When you talk in your spiritual language, it's a family language. My sisters, when I was younger, I don't know if my sister's here today. Terry attends the church here, but when we were young, my sisters would get together and they would want to talk, and they didn't want their little brother around. But I was a menace, so I stuck around anyway, and so they developed this language called Pig Latin. Have anybody ever heard Pig Latin? You know, it's just a little nifty way of communicating. You know, like, and they would say things like "imite is ye upitste," and so now it's easy to interpret. You know what I mean? But looking back on it, you know, it was a foreign language to me, and they were making fun of me and stuff like that. And it's kind of like, I still hate that. As a matter of fact, I'm still in counseling for that, going through. But but that language, that secret language, there's something about intimacy that I can talk to God and not known by people. It not only expands my worship and my relationship with God, but it also edifies my spirit. 1 Timothy 4:8 says that physical exercise is great. I should do more of it. Maybe you should too. But it says that spiritual exercise is really not just good for the immediate, but for the long term. And every time you use your spiritual language, that's why when those of you who said, I've received a spiritual language, but I'm not really using it, I would really encourage you to re-engage that. Because every time you do, it's like lifting weights, that muscle is being built. I can think of probably a half dozen times possibly over the last several years that I haven't spoken in my language on any given day. Every day I speak in English. Every day I'm talking to someone, and every day, virtually every day, that language comes forth. And every time it says it edifies you. The Greek word there is, the best picture I can give you is a picture of a general contractor who gathers his workers together and sends them out and says, okay, now start building. Start the work. And all of a sudden, the building starts to come up. You're being built up. You're being edified. You're being strengthened. He's preparing you for something. And every time you do that, it strengthens you. The third reason is found in Romans chapter 8. And I do want to turn there because it's a significant portion of Scripture. And I want to read that for you. I think it's on the overheads as well. If you, PowerPoint is, as well, if you want to read that, it comes from Romans chapter 8, 26. It says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, Romans 8, 26 and 27, we don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, but the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with his will. Whenever you and I use this spiritual language that is basically prayer and praise to the living God, we begin to involve ourselves in intercessory prayer. And this scripture tells us three things. Number one, it says that we all reach points where we don't know how to pray. Have you ever reached points where you just don't know? Things get so bad. You know, some people say you just get so bad you just have to laugh. Well, sometimes things get so bad you don't know what to do. Sometimes you reach those points. But the scripture says, secondly, Holy Spirit will definitely and emphatically help you in those times. He'll give you a way to pray. And then thirdly, when you pray in your spiritual language, which is the Holy Spirit praying through you, it opens the door for God's power, his purposes, and his pleasure to be experienced. When you reach those times, this prayer language is so powerful that it enables you to do warfare on a greater basis. I can't tell you how many times I have prayed in my spirit in moments when I didn't know what to say. Paul says, I will pray in my spirit and I will pray in my native tongue. He had a choice. You know, speaking in a spiritual language is not emotionalism. It's not where you lose control of yourself and you just get into work yourself up into some frenzy. That's one of the fears people have and resist talking about this gift is because they're afraid of fanaticism or afraid of emotionalism where I will lose control and I'll flop all over the place like a fish. And you know that's not what happens to a person. That's not what God is saying that he wants to have happen. That's more about the person speaking and experiencing than it is about God who is giving the experience. So this reticence to move because we're afraid, but when we do speak, it enables us in this warfare, and I don't know what to say, but I begin to speak. So I will speak in my spirit, but I also will pray in my native language. Just this last week, we talked about Hell House. I didn't know what to pray for kids. I mean, I'm aware of the youth today, and I'm aware of some things that are happening. And some people, they have their heads stuck in the sand, and they don't really realize that there's a lot of going on in our youth today. And so we need to learn how to pray. But as I was walking around the fairground by myself, I just began to pray in my language. And I said, I'm gonna speak in my language because I don't really know what to pray. So I just started. And Began to pray 5 minutes and I said, oh God, these kids need to be awakened. There needs to be an awakening right now, Father. I began going back and forth in my spiritual language and my language because I didn't know what to pray. And what a tool, what a blessing. Now, I'm not stifled with words. I can actually open the door to the Holy Spirit's move in our midst, that things can change. Things don't have to be the same. If I will pray in my spirit, I may not know what I'm praying, but God does, and it releases the angelic host. It releases him to do what needs to be done. You know, when Donna was born, my wife, she had club feet, and her parents didn't know what to do, and they walk around. Oh, God, heal our daughter. Heal our daughter. And he did. You know, would have that happened had they not prayed? They didn't know what to pray, but they walked around. I know my mom walked around time and again when I was covered with psoriasis all over my face, and out of compassion for me, she'd pray. And I'd even hear her. I can't help my kid. I don't know what to do. We've gone to doctors, but only you can help. And all of a sudden, his spirit comes. And today, I look a whole lot better than I did when I was a kid. You may think I'm ugly now, but I'm a whole lot better than I was. Those things don't happen. Those introduce, those release the power of the Spirit when you walk in faith. You tell me that's not desirable. I desire to be built up. I desire to expand my relationship with God. I desire to be enabled to do more effective warfare than ever before. I stood in the home yesterday of Bill and Charlene Cheney, who we've been praying for their little guy, born 6 weeks and 2 days ago. That was yesterday. Was born with many complications, didn't have a chromosome. Doctors said he wouldn't live. He would have his inner organs exposed and would only live at the very most 2 to 3 days. Well, he lived for 6 weeks and 2 days. And as I was with them, they were telling me the story. I'd heard it before, but they were talking about how they'd pray, intercede, speak in tongues, do those things. Let me tell you, 6 weeks may seem like a short amount of time, but if the doctors told me today that I was going to die within a day and Donna prayed, would you want me to be here in 6 weeks? You got to say yes, okay? So, you know, 6 weeks may not be a lot of time, but she'd take the 6 weeks. It would be a gift to her. And I just sat with that family and I said, let me pray in my spirit. And again, so, and the Spirit just came upon them. It's the marks of it. By the way, they're doing great. Yeah, they're hurting. Obviously, they would be. But you know, a mark of a strong Christian isn't, I'm going to love God as long as you do what I think you should do. I'm going to love you, God, because you are God. You're above all. There is no one else to go to. You have the answers to life. I'm loving you in health or in sickness, in wealth or in poverty. I'm going to seek you. See, that's their stance. It's my stance. But I found myself at a loss of words. How do I help? And so I prayed that way. Why do people resist this gift? I think there are several reasons, and one of them is just a fear of fanaticism. You know, there are people who they get on one little segment of Christianity and they become obsessed with that. There are some people who are just obsessed with speaking in tongues, and they really have gone off the deep end. And from my vantage point, and who wants to be fanatic about that? Who wants to go off the deep end? What about emotionalism? I mean, you know, the Bible says that the spirits are controlled by us. You know, no one in the Bible loses control of themselves. It's always a yielding of your body. Some people have fallen under the power of the Holy Spirit. I've seen that here. I've had that happen to me one time. But it's not like I lose control. I could control that if I wanted to. I'm not suggesting that you don't get emotional when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, because sometimes when the Holy Spirit fills you, man, you just want to jump. I mean, I should probably say this it's not that big of a thing, but I was in the back room the other day, and they started to play a song out here. The choir was practicing. Man, I just felt like the Spirit just came over me, and I just started to dance. It's, believe me, it's not a sight to behold, but I just going around. I was working up a sweat in that little room. I was glad the door was locked. No one can get in, but I mean, it was just like, it causes you to, but I didn't have to do that. You know what I mean? I just yielded myself to that. I responded to that. If you watch game shows, when people win 10 grand or 100 grand, whatever they, I mean, some of them go berserk. They're jumping up and down, hugging everybody, kissing everybody, just doing all sorts of things. And then there's other people, like when they win $10,000, like, oh wow, great, that's all they do. Every experience is different. Every experience is different. But some people are afraid that they will be emotional, or that they'll be manipulated in some way, or talked to in suggestive language that would hinder us. And I want to suggest to you that when you ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit, that He will fill you, and you don't have to worry about those things. He'll never ask you to do anything stupid. He will, however, ask you to do some things that are beyond your frame of reference. It'll stretch you a little bit. Even for some of you, it's a stretch just to get you to praise God verbally. You know what I mean? We would rather, it's so much easier to clap, but to speak praise, it needs that, there's that breakthrough. That's what Pastor Andrew was talking about today. When, if we're going to receive the Spirit, there has to be a breaking of our pride. You know, I had a difficult time receiving the Holy Spirit and receiving the language that is offered to me, because I was so self-conscious. I was so aware of myself that before I could receive a language, I had to have that broken in me. That's probably why for me, the first time as a young boy, when I came down to the altar, like some of you will do, possibly do in a few moments when we offer prayer and release that gift to you, when I came down the altar, I prayed, I yielded myself, I repented. And this is kind of how you do that. You repent before the Lord. We've done that through communion. And then we praise Him. We establish His truth. I believe in Your word. I believe You're a good God. And I come down, and after I do that, I yield myself. I surrender myself to You now totally, God. I want to be all that You want. I want everything You have for me. I'm inviting You. I ask You to give me the Holy Spirit. And I like that language, God, is one of the signs to because it's so valuable to me. And I didn't receive it that night. It took me about 2 or 3 months. And some of you, I had a woman come up after second service. She says, I was going to come down front, but I didn't come down front because I went to another place and I asked for it and I didn't get it. And I encouraged her. I says, listen, keep pursuing. There's something you got to keep persisting, because God doesn't want to withhold anything good from you. He wants to pour out, lavish upon you everything that would help you grow in the Spirit. And this was definitely one of those things that will help you grow. It's tremendously affected my life. I can't think of where I would be if it wouldn't be for Him. When I was a boy and received my language, I was read this scripture. I'll read it to you from Luke 11. Ask, it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. If I recall right, I was standing down front and the pastor was reading this. He says, we're about now ready to ask the Holy Spirit to fill people. And I'm going to read a scripture to you. So he read this. Everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Or if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If then you who are evil, human, natural, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit when you ask Him? So that eliminates some of these fears I feared. When I asked God to fill me and give me a language, I just kind of stood like this. Kind of like, my assumption as a young boy was, God's going to come down and He's going to make my lips move and take my tongue and move it. But then I read in Acts where it says, and they spoke with tongues. There was a yielding of their tongue to the Lord. It wasn't just God doing something in you, but it was you and God together merging, where you trust Him, you relax in Him, you aren't afraid of Him, because He's promised that if you ask me something, I'm going to give you what you ask for. And you know, church, that's the way it's always going to be. It's not going to be God doing things for you or me doing things for God. It's going to be us together, merging together. And as we yield to Him, then I can speak. So I said, wow, I'm just going to speak. He says, I'm asking you for language, so God, I'm going to speak a word, and you know, I'm going to ask you to make it a language. Sometimes God will give you a phrase. Sometimes I've heard people say that I've heard people even get a whole language. You know, the way I just demonstrated a few moments ago, speaking, that's over the years, it's grown and developed into a language. But that wasn't the way it started. The very first word that I can remember ever saying was the word dreb. And I felt like, that. Well, that's the word that comes to me. I'm going to speak it. And I said, dreb. Dreb. And I had a childlike faith to believe that He'll make that a language. And from dreb, back in my teen years, it was dreba daleku, dreba kahishahanu horahish, dreba laninineka ramasu. Several languages. Actually, I can hear myself at times speaking not just one language or two, but sometimes three or four dialects, in sequence, given the time. But it all started from that, just that yielding of my faith and trusting in Him. Saying, God, You said that You'd give me a language, and I'm going to speak, and would You please make that a language? I'm going to ask Andrew to come, and Charles, I don't know if is Charles here or the second service. Charles, if you'll come as well. I'd like to take the next 15 minutes just to ask the Holy Spirit to fill us. Now, I realize that some of you are here today, and you really may not need to be filled with the Spirit and need this gift, but maybe you're here today and you need to be filled with the Spirit because you've been filled with worry this past week. Maybe you've been filled with anxiety. There could be people among us, you've been filled with anger, and God wants to fill you today. So I'm not appealing to those who would want this language, but especially we want to start with those who would like to receive this language. And if that's you, then I'm going to invite you to come. We're going to start worshiping the Lord in just a few moments. I'm going to ask the prayer teams, because I don't know how many of the prayer teams and elders and people, if you'd just come and make your, just kind of stand up here in a few moments. We're going to worship the Lord, because the Bible says as they worshiped, as they sang, as they prayed, the Holy Spirit just came upon people. So you don't even need to come down front. The Holy Spirit can fall upon you right there. But we're going to be available and make ourselves available. And I will invite you in just a few moments at the appropriate time and say, first of all, those who would like to receive this spiritual language, I want you to come forward and be prayed for. And depending upon how many come, then we'll open it up to others who need other things to receive from the Lord. But let's prepare our hearts right now. Holy Spirit, move among us now. As we pray, O God, and as we seek Your face, even as they did in New Testament times, fall upon us now. Fall upon us now. Just make that your prayer. Would you do that? Fall upon us now, Holy Spirit. Come. Come and make Yourself real. Praise Your name, Jesus.
Amen. Can you stand to your feet? Hallelujah. The Lord gave me this song last week, and it's called Fill Us Again. And you can join in with me. We've wandered in a desert place. We need a touch from You. Craving, Lord, Your holy embrace. May Your Spirit break through and fill us again. Sing with me and feel us again. Flesh has been running wild, and carnality can make your mind go crazy. We really do need what Pastor Tim has been teaching. We need the Holy Spirit to touch us, to renew us, to strengthen us. We need that touch from God. Allow the Holy Spirit to break your heart, to humble your heart, so that God can do what He desires to do in and through you. Because I'm of the persuasion that if God doesn't use you, I'm here to tell you, the devil will use you. And that's the difference between destruction and life, is allowing God to use you. Somebody sit with me. Fill us again. Oh God, fill us again.
You need filling in any area. Just make your way down this 7th floor. We'll pray for you. Maybe some other area that you need to be filled. You're running on empty. You're dry. You need to be filled today. Some other area you want to pray for.
Yeah, yeah. Fill us again.
You're dry today and you need to be receive the rain of the Spirit. You've just been going through a drought. Serious. Seems like your prayers are hitting the wall, ceiling and coming back, and you need that breakthrough today. This is a tremendous time to be prayed for.
Times of refreshing.
God.
Oh, oh, oh.
Fill us up, Jesus. Wherever
flows from your presence.
Overflow us with your love.
We're seeking you, Lord.
There is a line of love, friend. You can break it and fill us with
the
humility.
Heavens. Sing with me.
Fill us with humility. Open.
Sing that with me. Open the heavens. Sing that with me. Open the heavens. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Don't leave today without being touched if you need to be touched in prayer. Several people have been praying. Whatever you have, whatever you need today.
Yes.
For filling of the Holy Spirit.
Fill us again. Hallelujah. See, it's singing. Singing is for worship. Shouting is for warfare. But it's the singing is for worship. Fill us again. Hallelujah.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Fill us again. Yeah, yes. You worshipers, stay there. Stay right there. Go ahead. Continue to worship. Continue to worship. Refreshing. For times I'm refreshing. Flow, sing that with me. Your presence. We're seeking you, Lord. What? Open the heavens. Times I'm refreshing. Flows from your presence. We're seeking you, Lord. We're seeking him for what? To fill us. Hallelujah. Oh God, fill us.
Would you together with me say, fill us, oh God.
Fill us, oh God.
Fill us again.
Fill us again.
And again. And again.
And
be
again.
Being filled with the Holy Spirit. Be being filled
and again.
With the Spirit. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
And again.
We love you today, Lord. I invite you to lift your hands to the Lord kind of like this fashion as we conclude our service today. No one will be kicked out. You come down and pray. Spend as long as your time as you want. We'll keep praying for people, but lift your hands to the Lord. Praise your name, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise your name, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.
Hallelujah. Times of refreshing, Drew. One more time. Times of refreshing.
Help us not to just pass this season without crying out to you. Every individual in this place,
your
own way, in the meantime. Everybody, we thank you for
coming.
You know, you're welcome to stay. You're welcome to continue in this atmosphere of worship and prayer. We'll keep praying for people. If you have children, we'll pick them up. Just be crying out for the Lord in these days and just say, fill me with your spirit. Let that be the heart.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah, Lord Jesus.
Fill us again.